This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Welcome to Military Times. My name is Mark Love, and our first article comes from the front page of Military Times, dated May 21st, 2025. Army preps for 250th anniversary parade on Trump's birthday. The Army on Wednesday started loading up some of the tanks that will take to the streets of the nation's capital during the 250th anniversary celebration of the service next month, which will feature hundreds of military vehicles and aircraft and thousands of soldiers. The event has grown extensively in scope and size since Army planners started working on the festival 2 years ago to mark the day and have now added a military parade, which President Donald Trump has unsuccessfully tried to do during his first term. The Army's anniversary celebration is set for June 14th, which also happens to be Trump's birthday. It will include concerts, fireworks, NFL players, fitness competitions, and displays all over the National Mall for day-long activities. The Army expects as many as 200,000 people could attend, and that putting on the celebration will cost an estimated $25 million to $45 million. Here's what to expect during the all-day festival and 6 p.m. parade. The tanks and armored vehicles. The Army was putting 28 M1 Abrams main battle tanks onto rail cars at Fort Cavazos in Texas on Wednesday. The tanks weigh more than 60 tons apiece and will take about 9 or 10 days to travel by rail to Maryland, where they will be loaded onto trucks to be driven into Washington, D.C., and offloaded at a staging area near the Lincoln Memorial. On the day of the parade, those tanks, as well as 28 tracked Bradley fighting vehicles, 28 wheeled Stryker combat vehicles, 4 tracked M109 Paladin self-propelled howitzers, and other towed artillery will maneuver to the start of the parade route just off the National Mall. They will travel toward the White House, driving over thick metal plating to protect the streets at some parade points where the vehicles make a sharp turn. The Army said it's also planning some additional asphalt work and putting new rubber padding on the tank's metal tracks to try to minimize street damage. The influx of soldiers. More than 6,700 soldiers will travel from bases around the country to participate in the parade and festival and spend June 11th through 15th housed in two nearby federal buildings, sleeping on cots and having packaged military meals ready to eat or MREs for breakfast and lunch. They will get a hot meal dinner and a $69 per diem to buy additional food as they want, Army spokesman Steve Warren said. They will be forming units that represent each of the nation's major conflicts, starting with the Revolutionary War. For each conflict, 60 soldiers will wear period uniforms supplied by an event company representing that war and will be followed by 400 soldiers from their same base in present-day uniforms. Not all the soldiers participating will be in the parade or even on the ground. For instance, Colonel Ian McLean, an Army astronaut currently serving on the International Space Station, will participate. At the end of the parade, the Army's Golden Knights parachute team will jump over to the White House, landing near Trump to present him with a folded flag, and 250 new recruits or reenlisting service members will be sworn in to the Army by Trump. The aircraft and helicopters buzzing overhead. More than 50 helicopters and aircraft representing different wars will fly over the city, pairing up with the units on the ground as they pass the president. For example, as units marching in World War II uniforms pass Trump, a P-51 Mustang fighter aircraft and a B-25 Mitchell bomber aircraft are expected to fly overhead. As units representing some recent conflicts pass, Army H-1 Hueys, AH-1 Cobra, H-64 Apache, and CH-47 Chinook helicopters will appear in the sky. The helicopters are flying at the same time when sharing DC's airspace is still a sensitive issue after a January collision between an Army Black Hawk helicopter and an American Airlines regional jet, which killed 67 people. Warren said the Army has worked closely with the Federal Aviation Administration on routes, and the helicopters will take off from Andrews Air Force Base to fly towards the Capitol. It's likely DC's airspace may be temporarily closed to airline traffic as the sky parade occurs, the Army said. In our next article, ICE agents to assist base security at 3 Marine Corps installations, dated May 21st, 2025. U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents will work alongside base security at three Marine installations as part of a pilot program to prevent foreign nationals from unlawfully accessing the bases. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, California, officials announced the program on May 16th. Officials told military.com that the initiative will also take place at Marine Corps bases Quantico and Hawaii. Marine and family readiness start at our bases and stations, and the safety and the security of our Marines, sailors, family members, civilian employees, and all who work and have proper access to Marine Corps installations are of the utmost importance. Captain Kevin Oberhart, a spokesperson for Headquarters Marine Corps, said in an email statement. Officials at Camp Pendleton did not disclose how many times unauthorized access had occurred at the facility in recent years, or provide further details regarding the origins of any individuals who had unlawfully obtained access to the base. In 2023, the Wall Street Journal reported that Chinese nationals had accessed military facilities an estimated 100 times over a period of years. The news outlet cited unnamed sources for that report. There is no impact on military or civilian personnel, dependents, or those lawfully entering our military installation, Second Lieutenant Anna Hornick, a Pendleton spokesperson, told military.com. This cooperation may lead to longer processing times at entry points, but day-to-day life on base will remain unchanged. ICE agents are supporting base security by assisting with identity verification and gate screening, according to a release. The release also said most unauthorized access attempts are unintentional, often resulting from confusion over GPS directions. However, some present deliberate security risk. The interagency cooperative effort is being evaluated for effectiveness and scalability, according to the release. Its success may inform future iterations across other Marine Corps installations, particularly those proximate to border regions, ports of entry, or critical infrastructure corridors. Oberhart told military.com that the collaboration between ICE is not in response to a specific incident. Rather, the effort is part of an ongoing effort to constantly improve our security posture to protect our most valued resource, our people, Oberhart said. Cooperation between the installation law enforcement and ICE continues a history of teamwork that dates back to the establishment of the Department of Homeland Security. And in our next article, Pentagon accepts Qatari jet for Air Force One, dated May 21st, 2025. The Pentagon announced Wednesday it has accepted a $400 million jet from Qatar, a week after the Gulf state was reported to be providing the plane as a gift to President Donald Trump for use as Air Force One. The Secretary of Defense has accepted a Boeing 747-8 from Qatar in accordance with all federal rules and regulations. The Department of Defense will work to ensure proper security measures and functional mission requirements are considered for an aircraft used to transport the President of the United States. Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell wrote in a statement Wednesday. The Air Force said it is also preparing to award a contract to convert the Boeing 747-8 into a presidential transport plane, though details on that deal are classified and would not be released. Many Democrats in Congress and some Republican media figures have questioned whether such a gift is legal or even practical, given the extensive overhaul necessary to ensure the plane complies with security protocols and military standards. When asked about the gift at an event from the Oval Office on Wednesday, Trump grew visibly angry and repeatedly attacked the reporter who posed the question. They're giving the United States Air Force a jet, and it's a great thing, Trump said. Article 1 of the Constitution specifically bans U.S. government officials from accepting titles or gifts from foreign monarchs without the approval of Congress. Representative Joe Courtney of Connecticut, the top Democrat on the House Armed Services Subcommittee that oversees Air Force One, has critiqued the gift following an amendment during a marathon session of Congress this week that would ban any funds from helping to renovate the airplane for military use. Some lawmakers and aviation experts have also expressed concern about the complexity and potential security ramifications of modifying a foreign-gifted Boeing 747-8 into an aircraft that must essentially be a flying White House situation room. Air Force One aircraft are typically upgraded with secure communication systems military-grade power systems, and classified self-defense systems in case an adversary tries to attack the president. They also have medical facilities that would allow doctors to treat an injured or sick president while in flight. If a nuclear war or other catastrophic emergency erupts, the president must be able to direct U.S. forces and other assets securely from the plane. Boeing is now converting another pair of 747-8s into Air Force One planes under the VC-25B program, but that effort has been in the works for the better part of a decade and is far behind schedule due to challenges such as supply chain issues and difficulties finding enough workers with the requisite security clearance to work on the planes. The new Air Force One aircraft were originally due to be delivered in 2024, but are now not expected until 2029. The Air Force said earlier this month it is considering changes to the requirements for the jets that will allow it to shave about 2 years off the schedule. But critics of the Qatari 747 plan say it's unrealistic to expect this jet to be ready for Trump use by the end of the year, without taking shortcuts that could compromise the plane's readiness and security. Air Force Secretary Troy Mink told lawmakers Tuesday that transforming any civilian aircraft, including this one, into an Air Force One requires significant modifications. Mink said the Air Force is now studying that work will need to be done on the Qatari 747. Mink also told Senator Tammy Duckworth, Democrat of Illinois, that he would not allow security standards for the plane to slip, and would warn Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth if the Air Force is unable to address any threats while modifying the plane. From the Oval Office on Wednesday, Trump himself mentioned the undelivered Air Force One jets, gesturing to a model of one on a nearby table. Boeing's a little bit late, unfortunately, Trump said. I'm sorry, I don't have a plane to give you, South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa, who was meeting with the president, said to laughter. And in our next article, TSA trained to accept military IDs in lieu of real IDs, officials said, dated May 21, 2025. Military-connected travelers should be able to board domestic flights simply by showing their military ID, as Transportation Security Administration officers are trained to accept them in lieu of a real ID, a TSA spokesman said. As of May 7, individuals must show a real ID or acceptable alternative to board domestic commercial flights, visit military installations, and access certain federal facilities. Real ID driver's license are identified by a star in upper right-hand corner. The DID cards, including those issued to dependents, are among the forms of identification listed on a TSA website as acceptable alternatives to the real ID. Still, some travelers told Military Times their military IDs have been rejected at U.S. airports. The issue has come up with military retirees, particularly with those with old-style cards featuring an indef or indefinite expiration date. One Air Force retiree said his retiree ID card wasn't accepted when he tried it out while flying to Virginia on May 10th. The card has an indef expiration date. Our officers are trained to accept military IDs at our security checkpoints, TSA spokesman Dave Fitz told Military Times. In the unlikely event that an officer would not accept a military ID, the passenger should ask to speak to a supervisor. Although the TSA page detailing the list of acceptable identification doesn't specifically mention retired military IDs, Fitz said, U.S. Department of Defense IDs, to include IDs for active and retired military, are acceptable forms of ID, even if they do not have an expiration date. Military-connected passengers may also use any of the other acceptable IDs listed, Fitz noted. Among other options listed on a TSA site are U.S. passports, veteran health identification cards, or VHIC, state-issued enhanced driver's license, or EDL, and enhanced IDs, EID. Replacing old-style military IDs. Meanwhile, policies for accessing military bases for those who already have military or DOD-issued credentials, such as military retirees, dependents, and surviving spouses, have not changed. But those with an old-style ID card should be aware that while they will still be able to access military bases with that ID, it's uncertain for how long. These IDs are blue, pink, or tan DD Form 2, DD Form 1173, DD Form 1173-1, or DD Form 2785. The Defense Department is working to replace these IDs with the next-gen ID. Officials advise getting the next-gen ID now to avoid any problems with installation access. For more information about the next-gen ID and how to replace it, visit this Defense Finance and Accounting Service page. DOD hasn't yet announced a deadline for the replacement. DOD previously said the transition to the next-gen ID is expected to be completed by January 2026. 4 to 5 million non-CAC holders, primarily retirees and military family members. And then our next article, from space to barbed wire, museums welcome military families for free, dated May 21st, 2025. Want to explore more than 2,000 varieties of barbed wire in the Kansas Barbed Wire Museum? Or get an in-depth look inside the Space Shuttle Trainer crew compartment at the Museum of Flight in Seattle, Washington. Then check out this year's Blue Star Museums program with free opportunities for military families around the country. About 2,000 museums are offering free admission to currently serving military personnel and up to 5 family members now through September 1st, Labor Day. Participating museums, large and small, can be found in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, and Guam. They include history, art, children's and children's museums, historic sites, botanical gardens, zoos, aquariums, and more. For 15 years, Blue Star Museums has opened doors for military families to explore, connect, and feel at home in their communities, said Kathy Roth Duque, CEO of Blue Star Families, in an announcement of this year's launch. Thanks to our continued partnership with the National Endowment for the Arts and participating museums nationwide, we're proud to continue this tradition of belonging and enrichment. Museums are more than cultural spaces. They're places where military families feel seen, welcomed, and celebrated. Some museums could provide interesting day trips. With some planning, they could also provide side trips during summer travel, such as during a move to a new duty station. Additional information and a complete list of participating organizations are available at arts.gov/initiatives/blue-star-museums, where you can search by museum and state. Museums can join the Blue Star Museums program all summer long, and the map will be updated regularly. Those eligible for free admission are currently serving members of the Air Force, Army, Coast Guard, Marine Corps, Navy, Space Force, Reserves, National Guard, U.S. Public Health Commissioning Corps, NOAA Commissioning Corps, and up to 5 family members. Qualified members must show a military ID for entrance into participating Blue Star Museums. Spouses can show their dependent ID card for free admission if their service member is deployed or otherwise unable to come to the museum. The National Endowment for the Arts is honored to help connect military service members and their families with their communities through the Blue Star Museums program, said Mary Ann Carter, Senior Advisor for the National Endowment for the Arts, in the announcement. Participating museums range from large institutions like the Shedd Aquarium in Chicago to smaller museums like the Billings Farm and Museum in Woodstock, Vermont. A spot check of participating museums finds interesting nuggets like the Kansas Barbed Wire Museum in La Crosse. The Barbed Wire Goes to War exhibit displays military wire and tools. Concertina wire, rolls of twisted barbed wire, first came into widespread use in World War I. One of the more unusual exhibits is a massive raven's nest built mostly out of hundreds of bits of barbed wire. Lined with glass as a cushion for their eggs, a railroad engineer discovered it in a tree in Greenlee County in the 1960s. Some museums offer free admission to the general public all year, and some may offer special discounts for military and veterans. For example, admission is free at the barbed wire museums, but donations are encouraged. Before heading to a museum, be sure to check the hours and other information. And in our next article, both Air Force CCAs now in ground testing, expected to fly this summer, dated May 20th, 2025. General Atomics announced Monday that ground testing of its YFQ-42 Alpha began earlier this month, and a collaborative combat aircraft expected to have its first flight this summer. In a statement, General Atomics said their CCA's ground testing began May 7th. The YFQA-42A is an exciting next step for our company, David Alexander, president of General Atomics Aeronautics Systems, said in a statement. It reflects many years of partnership with the U.S. Air Force for advancing unmanned combat aviation for the United States and its allies around the world, and we're excited to begin ground testing and move to first flight. The announcement follows the Air Force's revelation May 1st that Anduril Industries CCA, the YFQ-44A, had also started its ground testing. Anduril also expects the CCA to start flight tests this summer. CCAs are uncrewed semi-autonomous drones that will fly alongside aircraft like the F-35 and F-47, also known as Next Generation Air Dominance. Their purpose is to expand the reach of the Air Force's limited fleet of crewed fighters and conduct missions such as strike operations, reconnaissance, electronic warfare, and to serve as decoys. The Air Force chose General Atomics and Anduril to design, build, and test the first iteration of CCAs in April 2024. General Atomics YFQ-42A is derived from its XQ-67 off-board sensing station drone, which the Air Force Research Laboratory flew in 2024 to test a platform-sharing construction concept. That drone was built on a chassis that could be used as a foundation for multiple drones, which the company and AFRL said could allow drones to be built in mass and more cheaply. Anduril's YFQ-44A was previously called Fury, and the company uses its Lattice operating system for its autonomous capabilities. The service posted a graphic last week that said these first CCAs would have a combat radius of more than 700 nautical miles and stealth comparable to the F-35s. The Air Force wants to have at least 1,000 CCAs. The Air Force also plans to locate its first CCA aircraft readiness unit, which will keep them in a fly-ready status for rapid deployment at Bill Air Force Base in California. Because CCAs would not need to be flown regularly to keep pilots trained, the Air Force expects the drones will only be flown a minimal amount of times. That means Bill's unit would likely need fewer support airmen than crewed aircraft require, such as maintainers, the service said. But both Anduril's and General Atomics CCAs may not end up being in the Air Force's fleet. The service plans to choose next year which of those CCAs to move into production and start to develop the next increment of the drones. In case you're just now joining us, you're listening to Military Times. And in our next article, Army brings back 90-day reenlistment window, suspends most extensions, dated May 21st, 2025. The Army is suspending most retention extensions and reinstating the 90-day reenlistment window. The service cited its retention success in recent years as part of the change for soldiers with a discharge date before the end of fiscal year 2026, according to a release. In April, the Army exceeded its 2025 reenlistment goal by reenlisting 15,600 soldiers, 800 more than the original goal. With reenlistment and recruiting exceeding expectations, the Army is in a good position to maintain its end strength and force requirements for the foreseeable future, said Master Sergeant Kendra Ford, the Senior Army Retention Operations NCO. The service also surpassed 90% of its recruiting goals in May, according to the release. As the Army adapts the evolving needs and conditions, we have to make sure our retention policies keep pace, Ford said. We're working hard to keep career counselors, soldiers, and leaders up to date to help them make informed decisions about their careers. The full reenlistment update is as follows. Retention extensions. Soldiers who are not deployed or deploying with an ETS date before October 1st, 2025 have until May 31st, 2025 to obtain retention extensions under general circumstances, which allow troops to extend service without officially reenlisting. Soldiers who ETS after 1 October 2025 can extend under specific conditions outlined in Army Regulation 601-280. Reenlistment windows. Beginning July 1, 2025, soldiers will be allowed to reenlist from the time the reenlistment window opens until 90 days from their ETS date. Soldiers fewer than 90 days from their ETS date will be unable to reenlist. The changes begin on June 1st, the service announced, and include suspending most retention extensions and reinstating the 90-day enlistment window. Special circumstances will be handled on a case-by-case basis, according to the release. In our next article, VA drops secondary review rule for community care medical appointments, dated May 20th, 2025. Veterans Affairs leaders on Monday announced plans to eliminate secondary reviews for patients seeking health care consults outside of the department's medical centers, a move that could dramatically speed up the time for booking those appointments. The move was mandated by Congress last fall as a way to simplify VA's community care procedures, which allow veterans to use taxpayer dollars to receive private medical care. About 40% of all medical appointments paid for by the department are conducted by private sector doctors, a number that has risen steadily over the last decade. but some veterans advocates have expressed concerns that as more patients and federal funding leave the VA healthcare system, the changes could weaken the department's medical centers by leaving them with fewer resources. In contrast, President Donald Trump has been a vocal proponent of increasing medical care choices for veterans, pushing for expanded community care options during his first and current terms. In a statement, VA Secretary Doug Collins said implementing the congressional mandate is making it even easier for veterans to get their health care when and where it's most convenient for him. Collins and conservative lawmakers have criticized President Joe Biden's administration for adding layers of bureaucracy to the community care program, complicating access even as the number of appointments continue to grow. Veterans should always have access to the best health care that meets their individual needs, whether that's inside or outside VA, and without a paperwork nightmare to make that happen. House Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Mike Bost, Republican of Illinois, said in a statement following Monday's announcement, Democratic lawmakers backed a change in community care rules last fall when it was passed into law as part of the Senator Elizabeth Dole 21st Century Veterans Health Care and Benefits Improvement Act. House Veterans Affairs Committee Ranking Member Mark Takano, Democrat of California, called VA's announcement Monday accomplishing the bare minimum, since the move had already been ordered by Congress. Similarly, Senate Veterans Affairs Committee Ranking Member Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, accused the administration of trying to take a victory lap for finally implementing a provision they were required by law to put in place more than a month ago. VA leaders said the change is effective immediately. Since 2019, veterans ruled eligible for community care appointments have been able to work with referring clinicians to find outside care, but those decisions were not considered final until they were reviewed by a second VA doctor. Veterans can qualify for community care eligibility if they live more than 30 minutes away from a VA healthcare facility, or if their nearby clinic has a wait time of more than 20 days for primary care services or 28 days for specialty care. Current rules also provide several other exceptions for eligibility. Well, I'm afraid this is all the time we have for now. Thank you for joining us for Military Times. My name is Mark Love, and I hope that you'll join us next time.